We praise you. We thank you for everything that you're doing. We acknowledge you as our King, as our Lord, as our Creator. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the salvation through him. Thank you for his blood. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the presence of your Spirit in our hearts and mind and in this place and every places that we're going. Thank you for all the blessings, provisions, and protections that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for this church, the body of Christ, your church. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you, God, to continue blessing the church with your scripture. Be you speaking, providing the needs that we have, the needs that we have in our hearts, in our mind, the needs that we have to continue being growing in you and continue growing together. Please, Father God, be you speaking to the church, not me. Remove my mentality, my thoughts, my flesh, anything that is over there. Please remove it in the name of Jesus Christ and be you speaking to the church. I'm just a vessel. Thank you. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. So right now we're talking about this series, and we're going to continue talking about it. God is putting in my heart to continue talking about lead like Jesus. And how many things we can talk about that, right? A lot. There's so many. But we like to continue learning everything that he was doing and leading like he was leading over here. And I truly believe that he's still leading in our hearts and mind. Anyway, Jesus Christ in his flesh, he's not here on the earth anymore, but he's still leading spiritually in our hearts and mind. So we are going to continue learning more about leading and leading like he did when he was over here on the earth, and he has continued doing in our life. And opening the scripture that we like to use for this purpose, it will be using the Psalm 119:176, and it says that I have strayed like a lost sheep, seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. And this is NIV version. Maybe over there is a different version. But the NIV version is saying, seek your servant. The psalmist is sharing, seek the heart of a servant that I have, because I never forget your commands. Your commands, the scripture, all the things that you are telling to us that we need to follow and seek, I have it in my heart, I have it in my mind, I never forget about them. So that's bringing in my heart to be a servant of the Lord, a servant of his word. And today we're going to continue talking of this blessing about being a servant, servant of the Lord, servant of the Word of God. And we will learn about different things that we are doing in our life that maybe is getting us out of the track, out of the picture of what God wants us to do. And then that becomes us to create this servant service, sorry for the redundancy, to these other things in our life, that it can be being a servant of work, being a servant of another person, human being on the earth, being a servant of money, being a servant of worriness, busyness, being a servant of any other things that we have in our life. But God wants us to be a servant of his word, of him. Because that's his will in our hearts. And hopefully that's what we're going to try to show today and continue learning more. Because today, I know last weekend we talked about servant mentality, but today we like to do a topic under serving with conviction. Because the conviction, it will help us to never go to another track or another place. You and me, I'm the same. You know, I work for a company, and I have wife, and I have kids, I have bills to pay, I have other things to do, the same like you guys. And we have those stress, busyness in our life that sometimes is creating this doubt or trying to get off the track of our life, of Jesus, or following him. And having the conviction that anyway, whatever is happening in our life, He's coming. He's going to bless me. He's going to heal me. That's going to create that solid conviction and keeping the service that we need to do for Him. Any service that we're doing that you have in your heart, we're going to continue doing it for Him and for His glory. And when we see and learn about the Psalm 119:176, that is talking about seek your servant, for I have forgotten your commands. Forgotten your commands. We need to learn more about the sheep. And we talked last week about being a sheep and going astray. That's going to help us to understand what does that mean. Because normally in the whole scripture we can see that God is using the reference of a sheep, you and I. And He keeps telling us, shepherd, sheep, or pastor, sheep, is telling us that we have the heart. And He always using that comparison in the Bible. You can see David, you can see Moses, you can see other people in the Bible that before they have that ministry or being a servant of God, they were a shepherd. And before they get to that position or that place that God was putting them, they were a shepherd. They were taking care of the flock of God or what they were doing in that moment. So they were building that servant heart. But what is creating you solidification in your heart so that way your conviction is not going to be movable for any other place? You're going to stay solid over there and you're not going to move other places. Because normally the sheep is because they're looking for a different pastures, more greener over there. Let me go over there. The sheep is always looking to get out of the track. Is always looking to get out of flock. That's why they need a shepherd. And that's why you and me, we need a shepherd, which is God, which is Jesus Christ. He is the one keeping us, hey, in line. Don't go anywhere. Don't move. Stay inside here. And we go and learn more about serving over here on the earth. Is talking about the typical definition of serving. It is that person that is serving an organization or maybe serving a family or maybe serving, name it, different things. Because that's the definition that we have in our heart. But how many things in the scripture, God, he twisted a little bit. The last will be the first. The oldest will serve the youngest. How many times we see that in the Bible, right? Because He liked to go in the contrary of what is here on the earth and say, now it's different because I'm seeking the heart. I'm seeking the servant really on the heart. Not the servant that is like to look outside. I'm helping everyone, but because my heart is looking to the recognition from people. My heart is looking other things. I just wanted to be recognized in front of everybody. When you don't need that, because God already gave you that. God already provided that through Jesus Christ. So what else are you going to need more than that over here on the earth? Right? We don't need anything else. He already provided through Jesus Christ. And we have it. So now we're just serving others without that. Looking or searching for recognitions is just that we already been recognized by Him when He saved us through His blood, through His death on the cross. That's good enough. I cannot compete against that. Amen? Amen. So learning more and growing more on the scripture and learning more about servant of the word, inside of that topic is talking about obedience and trust. It's talking about Jesus as the ultimate example and the spiritual purpose. And today, I just want to start sharing with you guys some of the scripture that is going to help us to understand more about the conviction, and we're not going to lose the conviction of being a servant. You have a passion. You have a love. You have something that God created inside of you. You have a gift that He have it over there so that way you can serve Him for His glory. It's for Him. Not for nobody else. Now, when you start working on that, There's things happening. I'm included over there. And then start colliding each other, and sometimes you start doubting. You start thinking like, and I'm doing the right thing, and I'm making the right decision. I don't know. And that's going to try to remove that conviction that he already gave you at the beginning of the ministry, or the beginning of your passion, that you, or the beginning of your gift that you have in your heart from him. Just stay with that. Hopefully we can get to that today. So Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to start over there, because we need to understand in Philippians what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. And it says Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about God through Jesus Christ. And according to Scripture, it says, he's taking the very nature of a servant. What a teacher. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is the teacher. We don't have to follow anyone on the earth. We don't have to follow other people on the earth. And sorry, I don't want to take that, you know, don't get me wrong. We have a good people out there that they are really good preachers or teachers or motivators, name it, different things that we get good inside and we grow through that, maybe God using them for us so that way we can continue learning and growing. Number one, he's God on a flesh. He took that nature of a servant, having a heart of a servant, and he's a King of Kings. There's no one else more than him. That's the teaching that we need to learn. That's the teaching from him that we need to continue to grow as a servant. Now, question about that specific topic of today. What made Jesus Christ, having that servant heart, and never let the conviction get out of his heart and get to the point of a death on a cross, so that way he can fulfill God's will and purpose in his life? That we need to learn from that so that way we don't go astray. I will keep learning, don't worry. Malachi 3. Let's go to Malachi. Malachi 3, verse 13. The scripture here, 3:13, is showing us why us, or in this case Israel, but we will learn from this, sometimes we let the things bothering us and get the conviction getting out of our hearts. 13, chapter 3 of Malachi, it says, you have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we say against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. Come on, I'm not the only one, right? Sometimes we have that mindset. Sometimes we let those things bothering us, conviction, start getting out of our heart. And now, you're going to be a servant anyway. Anyway, you're going to be a servant. for good or bad, or for other things, or for God, you will be a servant. There's no way that you're going to get out. Now, my recommendation, and I will also take it, be a servant of God. 16, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honor his name. On the day when I act, say the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. And that's the thing that so most of the time, every second of our life, when we have issues, problems, circumstances, or things, we have our servant heart, and then we have with this energy from Sunday morning, and awesome, I'm going to conquer the world. And then when you get to Monday, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, and you start facing your trials at work, at home, then things start going over there. I don't know. The conviction now start getting out. Oh, what was happened with that energy? What happened with that encouragement that we have? What happened with God in your heart? Serve the Lord. Serve the word of God in your heart. What happened now? Now you're letting that getting out because you start seeing things that for you is not correct. But God has the control of everything. God will manage everything according to his will and purpose. And this is teaching us how not to let the conviction get in out. Stay convicted that God will do what he needs to do in your life. Continue serving him. Continue loving him. Continue worshiping and praising him. Hosea 4:10. Hosea 4:10. Also here, we will learn some of the same principle of that. 4:10, it says, they will eat, but not have enough. They will engage in prostitution, but not flourish, because they have deserted the Lord to give themselves. These people, they decide to go by their own path. They decide to go out of that path that God is giving to them, that God already told them to follow. And we, as a servant, we allow that to happen, and then conviction getting out. Conviction is out of the picture. And the conviction is, when the conviction is out of the picture or out of our hearts, and meaning conviction to God, to the Lord, then we are already losing this and letting the enemy control everything in our hearts and life. Now, in learning for the point of view of the servant, how we can help not that conviction getting out, let's go to Luke 12. Luke 12, and we're going through verse 37. Luke 12, 37. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching. When he comes, truly I tell you, he will dress himself. We're talking about the Lord here. Don't lose that. Truly I tell you, he, the Lord, will dress himself to serve. Will have them recline, me and you, if you are a watcher, recline at the table and will come and wait on them. We're talking about the Lord. But the principle and the first point that I want to share with you guys today here, it is watch. Number one, watch. Having the servant conviction in your heart, you need to watch. We can talk about the virgins in Matthew 25. When you go to Matthew 25, we learn over there that the 10 virgins, you know the story, five of them were wise, and the other five, unwise. And the last point in verse 13, it says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. He's telling to the virgins and to you and to me today, hey, watch, pay attention, because we don't know. And that watch is going to help you and me to stay convicted that God will do what he promised in your life. Keeping watching, keeping awake is the meaning in Greek of that specific word watch. Summoning one faculties, rising from sleep, sitting or laying down, from sickness, death, darkness, inactivity, non-existence. So in other words, get up. Let's work. Don't stay sit down. And I'm sorry, I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying. We need helpers, like always. Church needs help. We know, everyone knows. But the topic today is just don't let the conviction get in out of your heart. That's the only thing. But according to the significance or definition of that word in Greek, it means get up. Don't lay down. Inactivity. You have something to bring to the table to God. You have something to bring to God to use it for his glory. It's for him. He gave it to you. You have to be responsible between you and God for your own gift, for your own role and responsibility that he gave you. When we learn in the scripture more about the meaning of that word, it is a table. That's a servant. Hey, servant, how are you doing today? You can put anything on that table, and the table will hold it. Yeah, depending on the way, right? You're not going to put a big rock over there. Maybe the table, it's going to break. It's going to hold whatever it can hold. The same with you and me. We are like a table. We keep serving, holding things that God is giving to you. We're going to get to a level that we maybe cannot manage because I need my neighbor to help me to continue together as a church, as a community, to continue building the church. I'm not talking the building, physical structure. I'm talking about church, community, you and me, loving each other. That's the table. That's the servant. And when we learn in the scripture about Moses, David, we can talk about Peter, we can talk about Paul. What about the scripture? When you go to the letters, for example, James 1:1, 2 Peter 1:1, Titus 1:1, Colossians 4:12, they all start saying, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Distinction. A servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you go to 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. And then you go to Jude 1, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. And you can continue going on because they know they understood what is their role, which is servant. I heard a question from a guy this week, and I'm going to try to, let me try to say it and hopefully make sense. The guy say, if God or Jesus Christ come right now, here, will he find a person that have a servant heart, or he will find a person that is just studying Jesus Christ? Ouch. So that's a question for you and for me. Keep it yourself, look it inside of you, and think about yourself. If I'm in front of Jesus Christ right now, will he find a servant, or will he find just another person that is just learning about him, researching things about him, or learning about him? Yeah, those things will help you maybe getting closer to him, but just acknowledging and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I don't know for you, but for me, it's a challenging question. Because we spend time learning and studying, and that's good. I'm not saying that's bad. But really, your heart, where is your heart? Is really a servant? Is really serving him? Because I believe that's what he's looking. You can continue learning in the scripture that is keep talking about servants. And these people are acknowledging that title and role. Servant of Christ, servant of the Lord. I'm a servant. Will you say the same thing? I'm going to leave you with that one. Now, let's continue moving on to Luke 17. In Luke 17, the scripture in chapter 17, verse 10, it says, "So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" What is your duty? Do you know it? Because if we don't know it, then we have to figure it out. We have to look what is the gift that God is giving to us, because we need to put it in service for him, for his glory. And when you do it, unworthy, because it's not for your glory. It's for his glory. He gave it to you. You don't own it. It's not yours. It's his. He just gave it to you so that way he can glorify himself through you. So Jesus Christ in this, he's talking about different things. He's talking about sin, faith, and duty. But the example that he's using over here is getting to that point when he's talking about the master and the servant, when he say, when your servant is coming from a day of work, he already finished his duty. Will you tell him to sit down on the table with you and eat with you? Or will you ask him, "No, now go make some food for me, and then after you make the food for me and I eat, then you can eat and drink"? Because that's the mentality that we have. But we are just supposed to be here and serve according to the will and purpose of God in our hearts and in our life, to supply the needs of others for his will, for his purpose, for his glory. And then in Matthew 25, we talk about the virgins, and then Mark 10, 33, 45. In Mark, we learn more about Jesus Christ teaching our hearts of being a servant without letting the conviction get in out. And this one is going to be 10, 33. He's talking about his death, the prediction of his death. And then he say, "We are going up to Jerusalem," he say, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priest and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Amen? "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. 'Teacher,' they say, 'we want you to do for us whatever we ask.'" What? What a question. Oh, man. Well, what a comment, right? Man, depending on what you're asking, don't be so. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They reply, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." Different mentality. They're letting the conviction get in out. They're thinking more about the servant on the earth, like that mentality, a servant down there, low class. I want to be here with you in your glory. Again, God is kind of the opposite. It's the other way. So then he say, you don't know why you are asking. Jesus say, can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? Yes, no. Will you handle this? Will you be capable to do this? Because that's the conviction. Not letting that heart to change. We can, they answer. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup and the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. Those servants that are not letting the conviction getting out of their hearts. And Jesus Christ, this is Jesus, he's saying, that's not for me to say it. It's going to be our Father God, the one who's going to decide who's going to be there. But that's already prepared. It's just that you and I, we just need to be servants and believing and trusting in him, not letting the conviction getting out, and that will be, or that's prepared already for us. And I know, and we are going here a little bit theology, or maybe scholars, or maybe teaching about predestination, but remember, because there's, I know there's some studies over there, out there, scholars, about the predestination, they're talking about that it's already for specific people, and we have to be careful with that comment, because the salvation is for everyone. And the predestination is being saved or is being prepared for everyone that willing to follow Jesus Christ and believe in Jesus Christ. So when we continue talking about this, he say, when the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and say, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. The other way. Unexpected. What? I want to be with you at your left or right hand in your glory. I'm a believer. I'm a disciple. But do you really have a servant heart? Because to be a servant, you have to serve others. Not just be here in dominion and say, you guys are going to do whatever I want to. That's the opposite way from God. And that's what he wants us to continue believing and trusting. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He's talking about himself. And to give his life as a ransom for many. Praise God for that. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ, because we have that salvation. Because he had that heart of a servant and understood that, and he never allowed the conviction getting out of his heart. Now, continue learning more in Romans 6, and now I'm going to get to the second and last point. The second and last point, it will be confidence and assurance. And then we have this experience, you and me. Who in the Bible knows that we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit? How many of you are fighting every single day between your soul, your flesh, your spirit? This scripture is going to teach us about that. Romans 6, 15, it says, what then? This is Paul. Show We sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are a slave of the one you obey? Whether you are a slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Two different things over here, guys. You're going to be a slave of something. You're going to be a servant of something. It's not like you're going to be in the middle there without. No, you're going to be a servant of something. Or sin, or obedience, or righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become a slave to righteousness. How many slaves are here? Hallelujah. According to Scripture, we are set free from sin, but now we are a slave of righteousness through the obedience to God. That obedience is bringing our hearts of servants without letting the conviction getting out of there. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. This is Paul. I love it. Just as you used to offer yourselves as a slave to impurity, to increasing wickedness, so now offer yourself as a slave to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slave to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. You see? One or the other. You cannot serve two. It's just going to be one of them. Or you're righteous, or you're gonna be a slave of sin. But you cannot be in the middle part. So maybe the question for us will be, and I'm being righteous, really? Am I obedient? What benefit do you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, the confidence and assurance. Is that bringing some, remembering some scripture related to that? It's faith. And being obedient is not letting the conviction get in out of your heart. The scripture in Hebrews 11, I'm not going to read the whole thing. You guys know that scripture. But we learn over there a lot of different things. We see by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Enoch, Noah, Abraham, name it, different names. And we tend to see that chapter, the chapter of the heroes, like a cat, like a Superman. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away, for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. One who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, God, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. A lot of good things over there. What about the end of that chapter? by faith, these people reach a lot of things. But then when you get to the end, 32, he says, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms and ministered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and rooted foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured. Now it's changing. We see a victorious faith, which is good. That's fine. We can talk about that. But please don't forget about this section. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Please, don't miss this. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. And about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet, none of them, come on, none of them is nice by faith, the victorious faith. And I see the victorious faith, but none of them received what had been promised. For me, that's powerful. Because anyway, I'm not seeing yet what maybe I want to see. I'm not going to let the conviction get in out of my servant heart. Anyway, I'm not seeing the promise yet. I have the conviction that I will see at some point in my life. Maybe after death. Maybe during this time right now, living. I don't know. But I'm not going to let anything in my life to get me that conviction out of my heart. Because there were others that they didn't see that promise, but they continue believing. And they will see the promise. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us will they be made perfect. I'm going to leave you with Colossians 1. Colossians 1, 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been made created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased. Remember, it's impossible if you don't please God. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Hallelujah. It's impossible without pleasing God. According to Scripture, Hebrews 11. He did that, Jesus Christ. And he teaches us how to do it, so we can do it. I always say this to myself, don't go to a corner and cry, John. And start justifying yourself. No, we can do it. He teaches us that we can do it. All the glory to him, because he's the one leading us, he's the one teaching us, he's the one giving us the strength, the capacity, so that way we can continue having that heart of a servant and not letting the conviction get in out. Conviction stay there, keeping watching and having the confidence and assurance that what he promised is going to happen in our life. Amen. And amen. The disciples, some of you guys, I know Jaylee, I love you, I know she's watching me. She likes to read books and a lot of authors and all that stuff. We are in the year 2025 and we're still reading the letters from Paul, from 2 Peter, 1 Peter, John, apostles. How they begin? They were a fisherman, some of them. All of them, all other ones, there were different things. Sometimes we have the mindset, at least that's me, that we say, oh, God is going to use me, but not the way that he's going to use me now, because I have this thing. You know, before to believe in Jesus Christ or before to come to the path of God, you might be go through different things in your life. These people, they were fishermen. There was other one that they were just shepherds. So you are creating thing over there. You are building a heart, a servant heart. And then don't think that God is not taking care of everything. He's taking care of everything. All those things that you went through, now he say, okay, come, my servant. Follow me. Because I'm going to use you for my glory. Don't think that that's just because of you. Everything was orchestrated. Everything what happened. Yeah, you decide to make maybe the wrong decisions. But whatever you build inside of your heart, I'm going to use it for my glory. Fishermen, apostles. Until today, you and I were reading his books. They were fishermen, just fishermen. And God used them. Why? He's not going to use you. He's going to use you. You have something, bring it. Let's share it together. And let's bless his name for his glory. Father God, thank you. We worship you. We praise you. In your precious holy name, thank you for the blessings and things that you're doing. Continue touching the hearts. Holy Spirit, transform, fill all the hearts and minds that are listening to your word. Be you, touching and transforming and building and growing everything according to your will and purpose. Please help us, protect us against the enemy of our souls. We rebuke any plans of the enemy. We rebuke any desires on the flesh that is not aligned with your glory and your purpose. We rebuke it and reject it and say out of our life in the name of Jesus Christ. We believe that the Holy Spirit is going to fill us and continue touching us and continue using us for your glory. We trust that we have the heart of a servant and that the conviction is not getting out of our hearts. We believe, we trust in you. Because we love you and we trust that everything that you say is true, is real. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.